Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll give you a few minutes and we'll warm up, and that's what we'll walk into. We've been doing a series on the person of the Holy Spirit. And on our online Bible study Tuesday, I worked from the context and did a whole study about the different names of God in the Old Testament, referring to Jehovah, and how those expressions of names, those extensions of names, God was using to reveal himself, but everything keeps pointing to Jesus. Do you realize that? Everything in the Old Testament not only happened, but it also points toward Jesus. Even the feast, even the celebrations, everything, Colossians says, is fulfilled in Christ. And so God wanted his people to know who he is. And so he would begin to reveal himself and do things and give them another name. So they would begin to grasp and understand by revelation his nature, his personality, his power. You see names like Jehovah, Elohim. You see Yahweh. You see names like Jehovah, which literally means the self-existent God who reveals. The self-existent God who reveals, which means God within himself needs no other. Yeah. He needs no other to add to him for him to be him. Yeah. Our praise does not add to him. Our praise adds him to us. Yeah. He is not lacking in anything. He is all sufficient within himself. Yeah. See, he's all sufficient. I love that. Not only is he all-sufficient, but he invites us into him, into his presence. We are part of the body of Christ, are we not? And so the all-sufficient one who reveals himself. And so he wanted his people to know him, and so he began to reveal different names. And we've used those names before. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. A better translation means the God who saw your need before you knew there was a need. And on the cross of Calvary, he who was rich became poor so that you could be well taken care of in the affairs of life, the Bible says. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And before you knew there was anything called sickness or pain, he put Jesus on the cross, and by his stripes, you were healed. All of these names typed as not only expression of his nature, but also to the atonement of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Yeah. And now you can begin to say, wait, because of what Jesus did, I have. Yes. If he's my Jehovah Jireh on the cross, he's my Jehovah Jireh in my present day. If he's Jehovah Rapha 2,000 years ago, and by his stripes, therefore I was healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Therefore he's my Jehovah, he is my Jehovah Shalom, my Jehovah Shema, my Jehovah Jireh, my Jehovah Rapha. Whatever those names represent on the cross of Calvary, God said, I'm going to create a new covenant, and I just don't want you to understand who I am. I want you to be a part of who I am. I just don't want you to be able to explain it. I want you to obtain it, because it's not just by your works. It's by grace through faith that we begin to access what he is, who he is in our lives. So all of a sudden, when the devil tells you, you can't, you say, too late, I already am. Not because I feel it, but because of who he is. I have access because of salvation. How many people are saved here today? Well, that just doesn't mean that your sins are forgiven. That means you have access. You are connected to God. Amen. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Another name for that is Jehovah Tiskanu. What does that mean? You are, that God is your righteousness. Yes. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so the expression of his name is not only a revelation of his presence, but an invitation for us. Right. Well, how come I didn't have that before? God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Without us hearing the word, we can't understand it. Without understanding it, we can't call out. If we can't call out, we can't hold. It's just getting the understanding of, wait a minute, the names of God represent toward the atonement of God, what God did through his son Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And so now you can back up and say, wait a minute, I can't earn that, but I can receive it by grace through faith. See, the word saved, we use that a lot. Oh, I'm saved. Where that word, we've said this many times, the word saved in the Greek is sozo. Salvation is soteria is the Greek word. It encompasses all that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. So when you begin to say, wait a minute, he's my Jehovah Jireh, or he's my shepherd, he's my provider, Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. Provision then is available to you, not because of your history, but because of revelation on who he is, now you can be.
Right.
If he is, say if he is,
he is.
Come on, shout, if he is, then I am. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Without me, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean you can't do something without him, because you can sin without Jesus. But without him, everything is about him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the doorway. We go to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. Everything's about Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But because of, I get a revelation of who he is, then I can back up and say, wait a minute, if that's who he is and I'm connected to who he is, a branch never has to fight for the life that's in the vine if it's connected. The only time there is a separation, a disconnect, is when it's physically disconnected. And when the branch is disconnected from the vine, whatever life's in the vine, the branch can no longer have access to it. Although it might know, I don't know how a branch would know, but hey, Jesus talked to a tree. So anyway, although it might know, I remember the day that I was connected, and I remember that when I was thirsty, that branch, the vine provided me with nourishment, provided me with refreshing moisture, provided with me whatever I needed. All I had to do to produce fruit is access what was in the vine. If I knew if I was connected to the vine, then I could produce what was in the vine. I could produce the fruit. If it was a vine, and I could produce those grapes. And it wasn't the strength of the branch, it was the strength of the vine. I'm not just talking about agricultural right now, I'm talking about men and women of God. And you can remember, oh, I remember the day when things seemed like I was just flowing with God, I could experience God. I'm telling you, that is just not something in your history, that could be something in your present. Are you listening to me today? You can only talk so long about, oh, I remember the prayer meetings of back in the day when we turn the lights out, music loud, and cry out to God. I'm saying that's a great thing to have in your history, but don't let it drop in your present. We need to get back and say, God, I know the way I experienced you before doesn't mean it was just a time for my history. It's a time for my celebration today. God, I want to experience your presence. I want to experience your power. If you did it before, you can do it again. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the first and the last. You are the great God. Without you, I am nothing, but with you, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Are you listening to me today?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Jehovah, the self-existent one who reveals. One of the names that he explained that even farther is Jehovah Shema, which is God is there. God's presence is there. If that's one of the names of Jehovah and the names of Jehovah attached to atonement, that tells me that we have access to God's presence.
That's right.
Not out of perfection, but out of the completion of a covenant that God did. And what you have to understand is that when God began to explain this idea of covenant with Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. The Bible tells us that God put Abraham to sleep. He first had him to literally cut some sacrifices up and put the sacrifices, because without the shedding of blood, there cannot be any covenant. Remember, the Old Testament, the Bible says, is a shadow of things to come. They're symbolism. They happen historically, but they all point to Jesus and to Christ. And God told Abraham, I want you to cut up these animals. I want you to lay them on the ground. And I want you that blood to be there. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no covenant.
Right.
Without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, listen, no man, Jesus said, no man takes my life. I lay it down willingly. If they took it, then it could be a massacre. It could be a catastrophe, but they could not take Jesus. Anytime he wanted to walk through them, he could walk through them. Well, even when they came to take him, he said, who do you look for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. Even the soldiers couldn't do their job that day, because the moment he said, I am he, the Bible says that they fell back. Why? Because he represented not only I am, but the great I am, and he used the name. And the power of his word was so strong that they fell back. He had to almost pick them up and say, come on, guys, you got to do your job here. He almost had to prop up the enemy because he knew he was coming, and his purpose was not just to show up. His purpose was to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you so that today you can know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is Jehovah Shema, the God whose presence is with you. He told his disciples on the journey to the cross, he said, listen, don't wait for me. He said, don't you realize I could call and ask the Father and he would send an army of angels right now. And the Bible tells us that angels showed up occupied in the Old Testament, and I believe they show up and we don't recognize them in the New Testament. And that might freak your carnal natural mind alone messy up a little bit, but put it on the back burner. Because the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, one angel wiped out an army. And if one angel can wipe out an army, what would be an army of angels? Jesus is saying, listen, all I have to do is begin to say something, and the moment I speak something, it happens. Don't you understand? All I have to do is ask the Father, and the moment I ask the Father, it's over. I can stop this. I can stop this. I can stop this in a moment. They never had a second where Jesus wasn't under control. The Bible says if the devil knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Son of Glory. He was playing into the plan of the Father, because the Father knew that redemption was not available unless someone paid the price, and it had to be a perfect spotless lamb. And so Jesus became, in the Hebrew word, the Pesach. He became the Passover lamb to lay his life down sinless. He was completely obedient to the will of the Father, and he said, no one takes my life, I'll lay it down. He went all the way through the process, and any second, I'm glad I'm not Jesus, because if I was Jesus, the first moment you'd be going to hell. I'm just saying, that Roman soldier smacked me, it's over, bud. They've got to pull out my beard. It's done. You're picking up a cat of nine tails. Are you kidding me? I would have looked at him and said, watch this. I'm going to call the smallest angel, and he's going to whip you inside and out just to let him know you can't touch me. But Jesus said, I have the power, but I have the power to lay it down, because the Bible tells us that he's the author and finisher of our faith. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? Because he saw you. I don't know how he did it, but God showed him you. And when they were coming to beat him, when they were coming to rip out his beard, when they put the crown of thorns on his head, he saw you and he said, in the future, I see them. They need me and I will pay the price. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shema. God is there. His presence is here. We see that played out in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you with me today? Yes. Say, God's with me. Look to your neighbor and say, he's with you too. Say, but I don't feel anything. That's because you're looking to the wrong story. You're watching the wrong channel. You're listening to the wrong radio station. You're checking out the wrong thing. You might be checking out channel, what's your emotions say? You might be checking out what's your body say channel. You might be checking out the channel, what's the world saying? You might be checking out the channel, how am I feeling today? You got to learn to turn off the channel and get on the channel of God. What does the word say? What does the word say? What does the word say? Because any other question, I heard a preacher say this recently. Listen, if you ask, how am I going to do it? You're asking the wrong question. The only question you need to be asking is, what does God's word say? What does God's word say on this? I don't feel anything. Well, your emotions will change. We all know that. You said you were in love with that guy when you first got married, and 2 days later you're not too sure if you love him anymore. That's emotions. But you got to get past the emotions. They move. You got to get past the problems. They change. You got to get past the trend. It will renavigate, and you got to get back to the eternal. The Bible says don't look at the natural, don't look at the visible, because it's temporal. It will change. Look to the invisible, the eternal, which is the word of God. You got to get back to saying, God, what does your word say on this? I know my doctor is saying that, and I respect the doctor, but I need to go to a higher authority. I know the attorney is saying this, but I know that there's a greater, higher authority. What does my God say? You got to get, I know the divorce attorney is saying this, but I want to know. I know the counselor is saying this, but I need to know. I know that my boss is saying this, but I need to know what? I need to know, what does God's word say? And we got to get back and say, God, I'm not going to be moved by what I feel, hear, or see. Romans says, I'm going to be moved by the word of God. If your word says it, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my understanding. Am I talking to anybody today? I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Have you ever been in a place of God? I don't feel you, I don't see you, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose to trust you. Trust is a matter of I don't figure and I haven't figured it out, and I don't see the end from the beginning or the light at the end of the tunnel, but all I have is the light of your word, Psalms 119, and I'm going to choose to trust you with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. In all of my ways, I acknowledge you, and you will direct my path. One day, Lester Sumrall, who's now in heaven, but many years ago, great general in the kingdom of God. One day he was sharing his plans and someone said, how are you going to pay for that? You want to get a plane and feed countries? He goes, the Lord told me to do it. How are you going to pay for it? That's up to Jesus. Come on. Well, that doesn't make sense. He said, listen, this, I'm just going to fulfill, do what God tells me to do. And if I die in the mission field, then on my tombstone write, here lies Lester Sumrall. He trusted in God. God. We got to get to a place of trusting God regardless of the cost. Our modern day trend has created a generation of people that want, and God wants you to be blessed, but we tend to trust God as long as it's good for us. Where are the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, we know our God is well able to deliver us, but we're going to trust him not based on what's good for us or what's bad. We're not working on the end line. We are not looking bottom line profit margin. We are looking at God. If you say it, we're going to do it. You tell us to jump, we're going to jump. You tell us to stand, we're going to stand. You tell us to be quiet, we're not going to speak a word. You tell us to declare a thing and it'll be established. We'll speak what you say. But God, we have come to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, no one enters the kingdom of God but he that does the will of the Father. We have to get to a place, modern day church, that we are so ingrained within our heart that we have the word of God, hell or high water, we will obey. It doesn't matter if they like us, leave us, support us, celebrate us, walk away from us, turn us. It doesn't matter if our heart feels broken, our body feels a pain. I'm telling you, he's the healer. He's the provider, but sometimes we never cross over the bridge of the provision of God because we have judged and waited with a false balance. And I'm here to tell you that at the end of the day, let all men be liars and God be true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you believe that, take the next 30 seconds and give him praise. Hallelujah. Shall I trust you, God? His word is true. His word is true. His word is true. I believe God's raising up generals in the kingdom of God out of this group. Men and women of God who will not walk like everybody else walks, who will not follow the pattern that everybody else follows. For Jesus said, wide is the road to destruction, and many follow that. But narrow is the road to the leads of righteousness, and not many find that. You have to be willing to look and pay the price and say, God, it might not look like a path, but I see a Red Sea. But if you tell me to walk, I'm going to walk. And before you get there, God said, watch this. You trust in me enough to step toward the impossible. Now I'm going to show you my ability, which is greater than the impossible. For with God, all things are possible to him who believes. Are you ready, child of God? It's not a matter, can you explain it? Can you obtain it? But will you obey the word of God? Begin to walk toward your destiny that he has for you. God, I don't know how this is going to work. But let it be on my tombstone, I trusted you. Yeah. Not trusting in somebody else's advice, but what God reveals to us from his word to you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, back to our text. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Say, I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Say, I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Hallelujah. I want you to stick with me for the next 5 minutes because what I'm about to say might kind of throw off your theology a little bit. This is not about the Trinity or the unity. This is not about Jesus only or about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit also represents seven different spirits? Revelation 4, verse 5. Don't take my word for it. Challenge everything with the word of God. The latter part, Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, Amplified says, there are seven lamps of fire which were burning in front of the throne, which are the seven spirits Well, that's one verse, but I don't believe we should stick that anything off one verse. The Bible says by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, then, verse 1. These are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And he says, I know your deeds. You have a name, a reputation that you are alive, but in reality, you are dead. Man, I want to preach that right now, but it's not our place. Because the world has learned through social platforms, technology, education, we have become experts at branding.
Come on.
And the system of smoke and mirrors can't last forever. There will come a day where they used to say, where the proof is in the eating. You say you're a man or woman of God. There's going to come a day where you have to stand up and demonstrate that you are a man and woman of God. You say your church is filled with God and his presence and power. There come a day you'll have to demonstrate that God's power and presence in your church. The church world has been filled with people and also the world in general. We've learned to brand and take the right picture at the right angle at the right time and post in the right way, in a way to get the response. And we've created storylines of unreality. And people are being burned down. Why? Because they are living with a representation of something that they are not, and they know it. And when it comes to the things of God, you might pretend and have a reputation that you're alive, but you better make sure there is life on the inside. Yeah. Moving right along. The seven spirits. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. It's referring to Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom. Understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, 3. The Spirit of counsel and understanding. The Spirit of knowledge and might and the fear of the Lord. I messed one of those up, I know I did. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on them. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is more than just, I want you to feel better today. Right. You say, but that, and I didn't write this in my notes, so they won't have it on the screen, but verse 3 is actually really cool because it says, and shall make him of quick understanding. Oh, I like that. Shall make him of quick understanding. When you begin to think of what God can do, and I appreciate the world of academia, education is an important thing. My dad emphasized that for all of us. Education is an important thing. I have an undergrad and also an MBA. But you know, in the world of academia, that can cost you because we begin to think we know something in our head but don't know something in our heart. Right. But when you begin to analyze, you have to think of it this way. Who taught Adam how to talk? When you're created as a man and you miss out all the early stages. So God had the ability to download into Adam, not only to create him and give him life, but to download into his life all the knowledge and experience he needed to know to do what God called him to do it.
Right.
There's no school. How do you have the school when you're the only one?
Right?
It's not like he had to learn to crawl. He just started walking. He just started talking. How did he do that? Because God has the ability to download.
Yeah.
That's one example. Let me give you another example. This is just in the moment. Solomon. Solomon, you know the story where God says, I'm going to give you anything. Just ask me. You want riches? I'm going to make you rich. You want fame? I'll make you famous. So God's not against money and fame. Also keep in mind that it had to be a lot of money or a lot of fame because he was already king. And when you're already king, you have two things, three things, riches, fame, and power.
Right.
Now, not to create a prequel to that, but before what initiated the experience and studied on your own time is that he offered 1,000 sacrifices to God.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. One would take some time. 10 would take a lot of time. Somewhere you're thinking, okay, 1,000, how, you know what I mean? He spent a lot of time giving his very best to God, letting him know that you are God.
Yeah.
And God said, what do you want? I'll give you anything. You want fame, I'll give you more fame. You want some more riches, I'll make you so rich. And he said, it's not the fame I want. It's not the riches I want. It's not the power I want. I want wisdom so that I can lead your people correctly. And God said, because you didn't ask for fame or riches or power, things that would benefit you, but you asked for something that would benefit my people, I'm gonna give you wisdom and I'm gonna make you, notice, he didn't say, read this three books, they're really good. He said, I'm gonna download some wisdom, Greg Bruce translation, I'm gonna download some wisdom into your life. I'm gonna make you the wisest person on the earth. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? And then he said, not only am I going to do that, but I'm going to also make you richer than anybody's ever seen. Folks, the Queen of Sheba showed up because she had heard, and she took him gifts. And it's in the Bible and said, what I heard is not even close to reality. It's not the reality. You know, in our day and age, what you hear, you go behind the scenes, it's never close to what they're talking. It's usually less. You said that, and it's a lot less. She's saying, no, it is so beyond what I even heard. God had blessed him financially. God blessed him with fame. God blessed him with power. But why? Because he said, I want wisdom. And God downloaded the wisdom, said, I'll give you that. But because it was not just for you, but it was for somebody else. Stay with me. Because it was for somebody else, because it was for my people. I'm going to give you everything that anybody would want for themselves, but I'm going to magnify you to a place because you are now in a place that you want to do what's best for my people. I offered you everything. And most of us, you know, you watch these movies. You ever watch movies? And there's like a genie pulls up and says, I'll give you three wishes. And I've always, as a kid, wondered, why didn't someone ask for 1,000 wishes? Come on, somebody. It doesn't take 5 minutes to say they messed it up. You know what I mean? I want a ham sandwich. Are you kidding me? I want an unlimited number of wishes. But God said, listen, I'm going to bless you. And God was able to download. I don't know what your background is. I don't know what you know or what you don't know. But the enemy will always tell us our inadequacies, our insufficiencies, our limits, and our lack. He will position, and if you don't give in to what he's throwing in your imagination, he'll send some good Christian. Come on, somebody. That doesn't mean bad. They mean good, but they'll come and reiterate what he's been trying to torment you with. But there's something when you get a hold of the word of God. Say, listen, I have the presence of God. And that's more than a goosebump on a Sunday service. That's what I'm trying to get to you. He'll guide you. He'll develop you. He'll empower you, and he'll inform you. He is wisdom. He will give you wisdom beyond your years, beyond your experience, beyond your understanding. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for this last day church to rise up, and for not just in the corporate side, but on the individual side, and see men and women of God who have people coming up to them on a regular basis and said, tell me, how are you doing what you're doing? Why are you getting the sales? Why are you so successful? Why are you so blessed? Why is it working for you? And them have an answer. It's because I serve the great God of Jehovah. He is my Jehovah Jireh. He is my Jehovah Shalom. He is my Jehovah Shema. I am never without him. He guides me and leads me. He is my counsel. He is my wisdom. He is my power. He is my ability. It's got to be more than do you pray in tongues or don't believe in praying in tongues. It's got to be more than do you feel a goosebump or don't feel a goosebump. I know people that will argue about the little and they miss the greater because he wants to walk with you. God with you. Emmanuel, God with us. You have a covenant right because of the blood of Jesus to have the presence of God. And I'm not settling just for experiencing the anointing on a service that's corporate. And I'm thankful for the corporate anointing because one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000. There's something where two or three are gathered in my name. I'm there. But I'm telling you, it can't stop with just here. It can't stop with just here. I'm looking for men and women of God who have a heart desire with what I'm saying, that it's time for us to move beyond just for I can't wait to get to church on Sunday so I can experience God, but be men and women of God that say, when I wake up, he's with me. When I go to the city, he's with me. When I go to the country, he's with me. When I'm in the top of my day, he's with me. When I'm in the battles of life in the valley, he's with me. Oh my God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh God, give us the tangible presence of your glory on an everyday life. I want the anointing where people know that you're coming and they start putting the sick people in the path of where you're going, like they did Peter in the book of Acts, and say, wait a minute, here they come, here they come. You don't need to interrupt them. Just get close enough to the shadow of the glory of God on their life and things are about to change. Things are about to change. I don't want people, I am tired of us buying into the media message that has been created and conceived by the devil himself to devalue the church and devalue the Christians and make people think that we need to be ashamed of God, be quiet about Jesus. Listen, why are we being quiet? We're the ones with the real deal. The world, they're not quiet about what they do. They're not quiet about their demons. They're not quiet about their drugs. They're not quiet about their... They're not quiet about their lifestyle. They'll try to create pride and demonstrate it. And yet the church, who is the light of the world, sits quietly by and says, I'm just going to try to fit in. You're not called to fit in. You're called to rise up, Isaiah 60. You're called to shine. You're called to be a city on a hill. You're called to be a difference maker. They might mock and laugh at the beginning, but one day they'll come back and say, you had something, and now I realize it now. Here they come. I'm going to get close to them because I know it's not them. I know it's not Peter. I know it's just not the shadow. They know that he had been with Jesus. Are you listening to me? They said, we had recognized that these people aren't talking at the level of their education, Greg Bruce translation. It's in Acts. We are listening to them, and what they are saying is not in alignment of their past history, their past education, but we know they have been with Jesus. I want our lives to be of such nature that wherever you go, in whatever field you're in, that they walk away and say, there's something different about you. You've been with Jesus. If I get close enough to that person, I feel the peace of God. If I get close enough to that person, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost. Why are we being shy and quiet about the God that we serve? He is the great I am, the all-sufficient one, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Show up, Jesus, and blow our minds today with your goodness. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon the spirit of counsel. Excuse me, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The word Jehovah Shema was initially, first time represented, comes out of Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. It's referring to a city that's connected to the property of all the tribes of Israel. And it says, from that day, the name of the city, from that day, the name, what is the name? The name is how you are identifying something or someone. Where are you going? I'm going to go eat lunch at Chick-fil-A. What if I identified the name? Right. The name, you don't say, I'm going to a building. You say, I'm going to, and the name identifies. Right. Now, it might have been another building before with a different name. But when you change the name, it becomes.
Right.
So it might have been a failing business like McDonald's. Come on, somebody. And they take that sign down and they redo it. But the moment they put a new sign on, come on, somebody, and say, people drive by and say, look, a Chick-fil-A's coming. What are they doing? Why? What are they doing? They're reading the sign. What are they doing? They're reading the name. How'd you ever think I would get Chick-fil-A in a message like this? I don't know. From that day, the name of the city, the name of the city will be the Lord is there. Which is Jehovah Shema. It's just not a description, it's a name. You say, well, that's the city. I want you to listen to me. It is a city. But Jesus begins to give us revelation because everything in the Old Testament also begins and reveals to the New Testament. It doesn't change what God was saying in the old about his people Israel. No, it's not. But it also ties us into, we are the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? And Matthew chapter, am I speaking to anybody? We might be going longer than normal, but I want you to listen to me. Because when you walk out of here, I want you to understand something. That wherever you go, God points his finger and said, I'm there. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. Like a city. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. See, God doesn't, like we said a second ago, like the Holy Spirit said, you're not called to be a fit in and get along. You're not, I'm not saying you need to be a jerk, but God didn't call you to hide out and hang out in life. You are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. I'm telling you, you walk with God long enough, it doesn't matter what you do, people are going to notice something. I'm tired of the day of ministers and Christians having to print their own business cards to let people know that they're a minister. If you're anointed, you don't need to tell anybody you are a minister. You don't need to fake it till you make it. You don't need to be your own marketing company. You don't need to highlight how great you are. All you have to do, Jesus, I mean, there's times that Jesus said, listen, I'm going to do this, but don't tell anybody. You are the light of the world. Like, I'm trying, thank you. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. You are not called to be the light to the world. Jesus is the light to the world. But you are called to be a light to everybody in your house. That's just not a physical, like your roof of your house, of your home. It means anybody under your influence. I like to say it this way. You're not called to everybody, but you are called to somebody. And one of the things that will free you up in life is quit trying to be Jesus to everybody or to the ones that you pick on the somebody and back up and say, Holy Spirit, use me, whoever you want to use me to help today. It might be somebody that you know. It might be somebody you've never met before. It doesn't matter. One of the things that hinders people from receiving miracles is we get good Christians that love God, but they think that they're the Jesus in your life and they'll try to be Jesus and force you to live a certain way. Sometimes you got to love people and say, I love you, but I got to let you go. I have to serve Jesus just like you do. And if you don't want to serve Jesus, I can't stay back to hold your hand while we both go to hell. Oh my God, I'm talking to somebody today. I was just talking to somebody who was called in the ministry, had a desire for ministry, hadn't seen him in a few years, just ran into him and I said, how's it going? Are you preaching? I still preach. And he said, no, dropped his head. So why not? He said, well, you know, I would love to be at your church. I'd love to be involved, but you know, I'm married. And my wife just is so connected in that church that we're in and they don't want to use me. Somewhere you got to ask yourself, who are you serving? Because you're not going to stand before the throne of God and God said, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Well, hang on, let me find my spouse real quick. They'll explain everything. I thought it was a good idea and I wanted to do it. But Lord, they told me I shouldn't do it. They told me they wouldn't go with me. Are you kidding me? Well, Jesus said, if you love your mother or father or sister, if you love anybody more than me, you are not worthy of me. Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, and we did a message years ago. How much for your oil? Because there will be people near you that will want what God has for you. And there's some that don't want God at all. And sometimes you got to love them, but love them from afar. I'm still going to love you, but I got to go on with Jesus. If you turn your back on me, if I don't see you again, I understand. No, my heart will be broken, but I have to do what God wants me to do. We are coming to the last seconds. Are you listening to me? I'm talking to somebody. This is no longer a game of you managing your life and thinking you can outthink God. We are coming to the last seconds of the last days of this phase, that there'll be no more chance in the future. The door's about to be closed. You better make sure you're in, because if you're on the outside, you can cry all you want, but when it's too late, it's too late. This is not the time to play a game. You must choose between you and what God has for you and what they want for you. Jesus, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to be a city. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand and where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Going back to what the Lord already spoke to our heart, we have to be willing to do what God wants us to do, and when he does it through you, it's not about within your wheelhouse. Praise God for your wheelhouse. Praise God for your focus group. Praise God for you put the three circles of what is the greatest need, what is your greatest ability, and what is your greatest reward, and you find that center overlap. This is business. And you find that center overlap and say, that's where I'm going to focus. There may be times that God said, I'm going to ask you to do something that's out of the wheelhouse of what you know to be true. Paul, go drop a hook and let the first fish have a coin. It did not make sense, but it's not about if you understand what God is telling you to do. It's about if you're backing up and say, Lord, I'm going to let go of the reins and let you show me, and then I'll go. If you tell me to drop a hook, I'm going to drop a hook. If you tell me to walk out of a boat, I'm walking out of a boat. If you tell me to go to the fiery furnace, I'll go. It doesn't matter, God, because it's you with me. And when God begins to do the impossible through you, it didn't say, and the church will see it. It didn't say, and the spiritual will see it. It didn't say, those with the gift of discerning of spirits will see it. It said, when people will see it. Because when God elevates you, he doesn't elevate you just in a place of emotion and you feel good. God will elevate you where the world will see it, so that he gets glory, because they know it wasn't you. It was God that took you to that place. Hallelujah. In closing, 1 Samuel chapter 9. You don't have to turn there. We won't read it, but you can write it down. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Saul had yet to be king. His father was wealthy, and his father sent him out to find some missing donkeys. And so Saul took off with one of the servants. And they kept looking, and they kept looking, and they kept looking, and they couldn't find it. And Saul's like, we might need to go back, because probably my dad's right now concerned more about us than the donkeys. And they might have been found. And the servant says, listen, I know in the town that right next to us, there is a prophet. In the King James, it used the word seer. There is a prophet, and we could ask him what we should do. And he said, well, we don't have anything to give him. Because in that day, they understood that before you went before a prophet, you had to bring an offering. And he said, I got this shekel here. Let's take that. Let's take this money. And so they went to the town, and they were walking around, and they ran into Samuel, the prophet. But they didn't understand before they got there. Oh, my God. Before they had the idea to walk there, God had already been there. You have to understand what I'm saying, child of God. God is all sufficient. He's in all time frames. He sees the end as well as the beginning. And before you get there, he's already been there. Because the day before they knew they were going to look for a missing donkey or a few donkeys, God had already spoken to the prophet Samuel and said, tomorrow at this time, at this place, I want you to be there, because my people have been crying out to me, and I've heard their cries, and I'm going to bring the man to you, and I want you to anoint him to be king, and I want you to put him in position. Because all the hopes of Israel is riding on the shoulders of this man, and he will defeat the enemies of Israel. God had already knew the plan. God already knew the strategy. And before Saul had any idea of what God was going to do, before Saul, are you listening to me? Before Saul knew that he would even be there, before Saul ever heard the servant say, let's go find the prophet of God, before Saul ever heard his dad say, hey, I need you to go help find my donkeys, before Saul ever knew that there was any donkeys that got out, God knew. Are you listening? Nothing catches God out of it. He doesn't, oh, I didn't see that coming. He sees everything. He is at all places. And before you stepped in tomorrow, before you stepped into next week, before you stepped into next month, before you stepped into next year, your God Almighty, the presence of God, the all-knowing, he's already been there. And if you let him, if you just obey him, he can work things out and be moving towards your good. All things work together for good. Those who love God, those who love God, and those who are called according to his purpose. And so you have to understand, you're not alone. God is with you. And so Saul, and they get to the prophet of God, and they said, we're looking for the prophet. And Samuel says, that's me. And God speaks to him and says, that's the man. And he says, listen, you stay with me, and I'll send you off tomorrow, and then I'll let you know everything that's in your heart. Oh, and by the way, the donkeys have already been found. And he said, all the hopes of Israel are on your shoulders. Saul's like, what are you talking about? All he was a son looking for some donkeys. And yet God had already ordained him to be a king, the deliverer of God's people. The hope of Israel was riding on his shoulders. I'm telling you, you're not called to everybody, but you're called to somebody. And the hope of their destiny rides within this on the shoulders. Whose donkeys are you chasing after? We can spend all our time chasing after donkeys, looking just to pay bills and get through life and run through and solve some problems. But I want to encourage you today that you're not alone, that the presence of God is in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Jehovah Shema. You are a city on a hill. And God points to you today and says, my presence is there. And it's not just so you feel good. And God wants you to feel good. It's not just so you have a Holy Ghost goosebump. And he doesn't mind. He likes you having goosebumps. It's about you understanding that there is a greater purpose and destiny. And just like we talked about Solomon that said, God, I want something to benefit your people. We ought to wake up in the morning and say, God, anoint me with fresh oil. I know your presence is with me today. David said, I'll be anointed with fresh oil. God, I need a fresh anointing, not for my benefit, but I know there's people that you will bring me into their path, or they'll come into my path, that you've called me to benefit, that you've called me to reach out to, you've called me to encourage, you called me to speak into, you called me to invite to church, you called me to witness to, God, you called me to pray for. I don't know who they are, but it's not my job to know. And I'm not going to spend all of my life. Don't spend your life looking for donkeys. Begin to raise up the expectation and say, God has a great purpose for your life. He has a great destiny for your life. Are you listening to me, church, today? God is with you. Doesn't mean you're called to be in a full fivefold ministry. If God didn't call you into the fivefold, let me help you out. Don't go. You don't want the weight of something that doesn't belong to you. But when God calls you, he gives you the grace to do it. And people will spend our time looking for donkeys. And the presence of God is saying, I got something so much bigger for you. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love them. But he reveals them to us by his Spirit. Whew. Look to your neighbor and say, you have a great destiny. Come on, shout, you have a great destiny. Shout, you have a great destiny. It's bigger than what you think. It's bigger than what you imagine. It's greater than you can even write in your own journal. It's something that when you write it and no one would see it, and you begin to use your imagination, it's not even close to what God has planned for you to do. Why do we hold back and look for donkeys? It's because we don't realize the destiny that's on our life. Don't let anybody take you any place. It will rob you of destiny. Back up and say, I love you, but I can't go there because I have a place to be. Let's go over here. I can't go there anymore because I have a destiny on my life. Professional athletes know enough that what is acceptable to everybody might not be acceptable for them because they are in a race. They are in a competition, and they have to make sure that they're ready for what is ahead of them. So many people just take, oh, I'll just do what I want and hope God's mercy shows up. No, have a little dignity. Have respect on the call of God on your life and realize you're not like everybody else. You're not like anybody else. You're not to be like the world. You, God is with you, and when he points his finger, he says, God is there. Yes. Jehovah Shema. Yes. My presence is there. Amen. Not just when you feel him, not just when you are preaching or singing or playing, not just when you are in church, but every day. God has a purpose for your life. Father, right now, I just ask you, by the power of your Spirit, rest upon the hearts and the minds of your people. Begin to reveal your purpose to them. The next step of destiny. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Jehovah Shema, the covenant right because of the blood of Jesus. We have access your presence in our life. Your presence. Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a denomination. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? In a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior. Only you can answer that. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know him, you can. Don't let the church world that has traditionally made things so difficult. He paid the price. So it's by grace through faith you're saved. Romans 10, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that with the heart man believes in the righteousness, with the mouth confession is. I want you to know something. God loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. I came across this scripture. I just want to read it. This is for everybody. He loves you so much. You have no idea. He loves you so much. Isaiah 54, verse 10. For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you today. You are loved. You are loved. You don't have to live with that dark cloud of regret and condemnation and sin. Jesus paid the price. You don't have to live with that emptiness that the world deals with, trying to fill it. He paid the price so you can have his presence on the inside. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can know for a fact that you're right with God. There's three people I'm talking to right now. Number one, those who've never heard the gospel, that Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth in the flesh, died on the cross for our sins, on the third day rose again for us so that we could be saved. Go to heaven, miss hell. Hell's a real place. Heaven's a real place. To those, second group is those who used to walk with God, but for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is your moment to surrender and submit everything to him and come back to him. The Bible says heaven celebrates that he will no wise cast you out. 1 John 1:9, when you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse you and forgive you. Are those who you prayed the prayer, but you're not too sure if you're really saved, and you like to know for sure that you're right with God and heaven is your home. If any of those three are you and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, this is for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you, if either one of those three are you, I want you to pray this prayer that I'm leading you in a few seconds. Let it come from your heart. This is between you and God. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for me, was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. See, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want everybody to look up here. If you prayed that prayer, just so I know who I was praying with, here's what I want you to do. One, we want to celebrate that decision today, publicly. You're like, I'm not comfortable standing and raising my hand or anything in front of people. I get it. But the reality is we need to cross over that within ourselves, because if we have trouble standing for Jesus when everybody's clapping, how do we stand for Jesus in the world when everybody might not be clapping? Yep. Secondly, we not only want to celebrate, I want to speak a prayer, a blessing over your life. The Bible talks about that we be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, which means that God will equip and strengthen that person on the inside more than a will, more than a determination, that spirit part of you, that God will strengthen you so that when you do face temptations, you'll not fall. So that when you come against the enemy, you'll not be intimidated. So that when the giants of your life begin to roar, you'll begin to see it as a God opportunity and charge them. You hear me? We believe that God's bringing tenacity back into the body of Christ. Not that we're abrasive and rude to people, but that we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So if you prayed that prayer, say, Pastor, that was me. I prayed that prayer. If you, any of the three, first time heard the gospel and you just gave your heart to the Lord, you allowed stuff to come between you and God, but you've came back to the Lord, or three, you're not too sure, but you prayed that prayer and now you know that you're saved. If any of those three are you, at the count of three, and some of you are bold, you'll stand quick. Some are shy. So the ones that are bold, I want you to jump in quick. But if you prayed any one of those three, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet and stay right where you're at. Just stand to your feet and stay there. One, two, three, stand to your feet if you prayed that prayer. Those who are in the Portico Coffee House, God bless you. God bless you. God, three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. If you're in the portico, if you're watching online, stand in the room you're in, just as a way on the inside knowing you're standing for Jesus. Stay standing. Isn't it amazing what the Lord is doing? First of all, we want to say welcome to the family of God. We love you. We are so proud of you, what God is doing. We also want to just let you know that we're here for you. Not here to control you, not here to manipulate you. We want God's best for your life. And so we stay available. So after the service, Freedom, stand up for a second. He's one of our care pastors. Debbie's across the hallway in the information center. You could reach out to them and say, hey, I want you to know that I prayed that prayer. And here's my number if you want us to reach out to you. It's between you and Jesus. We love you either way, but we're here for you. We'll help you answer questions, pray with you, get your Bible, help you get plugged in, whatever it might be. This is the doorway of get more involved at Hope Church. Amen. Church, stretch your hands toward them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every person that's standing right now that represents a soul saved. I thank you, Father God, that your word says that heaven is celebrating. And so we join heaven's celebration. I thank you, Father. Your word says you are sealing them with the Holy Spirit. They are part of the family of God. Thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that is on their life right now. We seal them into the kingdom of God. Father, everyone standing, let it represent not only a life, but many lives that will be touched, that will be in heaven. So we curse and bind the enemy that would try to distract, destroy, or detour them from your destiny. Any evil relationships that are assigned by the devil to hinder them, we curse and break it. In the name of Jesus, I remove soul ties that are connected to their life that would hinder them from serving you. I set them free in the name of Jesus. Right there. There it is. And Father, according to your word, I ask you to strengthen them with might, even beyond their understanding. Strengthen them with might by your Spirit in their inner person. And we give you praise, Lord Jesus. And everyone shouted, give them a big hand clap. You may be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah.